Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have a really special Sunday today. We are welcoming Carolyn and Stuart Walmsley as new members, and we are very grateful for their presence among us these last few months and look forward to them joining officially our faith community. Part of that will be, of course, Carolyn affirming her baptism, and Stuart will be baptized today. Thank you to the Fellowship Committee who has put together a reception so that we can have the space and time to welcome them and have conversation with them. So after worship, we invite you to the Fellowship Hall for cookies and lemonade. This past Thursday, you should have received another edition of the weekly online Holly Leaf. If you do not have email, please make sure that I know that so that I can get you on the list to put something in the mail for you. But if you do have email and you're not getting that, let me know and we'll see if we can figure out what's going on there. We've got a lot going on this week, including council tomorrow evening at 7. The cemetery committee is meeting on Wednesday, as is the worship and music committee and senior citizens that day. And we also have Bible study on Thursday. In two Sundays, we will be having the blessing of the backpacks. So if you are a teacher or a student and you're getting ready to go back to school, bring your backpacks that day. We'll have a little tag and we will bless your backpack and bless you for the upcoming school year. Also on that Sunday, we will be collecting school supplies to take to students who are in need at Davis Townsend Elementary School for their school year. We have a couple of additions to the prayer list. Caroline Black is having knee surgery on Thursday, and it sounds like it's going to be a pretty intense recovery. So please keep Caroline in prayer. And then Kay Brown's grandson's wife, so I'm just going to say she's your granddaughter. Kay Brown's granddaughter, Andrea Zangerli. Is very young. She's just in her late 20s, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer this week. And so, as you can imagine, that's a scary time. And so we are going to bless this prayer shawl for Kay to take to her, which she will hopefully also wrap herself in as she goes through chemo and other treatments. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you are always with us. Even when we walk through very dark valleys, that we don't have to be afraid because your presence guides us and protects us. And we ask that your presence would be with Andrea as she is still processing what this diagnosis means for her and as she makes her way through treatment. We ask, God, that you would give her peace, that you would give her hope, and that you would bless this prayer shawl so that as she feels the weight of it on her shoulders or on her lap, that she would feel the weight of our love for her here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. We have several birthdays this week, including two today, Minnie Conrad and Sandra Vaughn, and in just a minute, we're gonna sing happy birthday to you. Also having a birthday this week, Andrew Curry, Robert Napolitano, Tony Chapman, Chad Hedrick, and Abby Hearn. And then celebrating their anniversary this week, Bobby and Carrie Fritz. Let us sing happy birthday to Minnie and Sandra, and at the part where we sing their names, we'll say, Minnie and Sandra. We'll say it together, so we're all on the same page. Mickey, will you start us off?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Minnie and Sandra. Happy birthday to you.
Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Christ. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Calvin. And I think Maddie's coming too. Hi, Maddie. Good morning. Well, in just a few minutes, when you all go to Children's Church, I'm going to talk to everybody about what it means that Jesus was human, right? We know that Jesus was God, and we know that Jesus was human, but I wonder if we ever really kind of think about it. Jesus was a little boy, right? At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus being a baby, but that meant that Jesus cried, that he was fussy, that he got hungry, that he needed his diaper changed. What else do babies do, Sawyer? You've got a baby brother. Does he get fussy? Yeah, Jesus would even get fussy because he was a baby, just like we all were babies. And then when Jesus was a toddler like Maddie, he learned how to walk, and I bet early on he was a little wobbly on his feet, so he probably fell down and maybe he scraped his knees or scraped his hands, and that would hurt, so he would cry and he would want his mommy, just like Maddie just wanted her mommy for comfort and for protection. I bet Jesus even got scared once in a while in the middle of the night when it was dark, and maybe he had a bad dream, or maybe there was something else that scared him. So Jesus would get scared too. I bet Jesus struggled a little bit in school with some of the other kids. I bet they weren't always kind to him, that they maybe teased him, and that probably hurt his feelings. And so I guess what I'm getting at is, we often think about Jesus either as a little baby at Christmas or as an adult. But Jesus was a kid and a toddler, just like you guys are. And that means that Jesus knows what it's like to have big feelings and what it's like to have struggles and hard times. And so anytime you're going through those things, big feelings, hard times, you can always pray to Jesus because Jesus is with you and Jesus knows what you're going through. And Jesus can comfort you, and Jesus can be the closest friend to you. You know, sometimes we feel alone, like nobody understands, or that nobody cares about us, but Jesus is always with us, and Jesus always cares about us, so we're never, ever alone. So the next time you're laying in bed, kind of scared from a bad dream, or you're having kind of a bad day, and you just feel a little bit grumpy, know that Jesus felt those things too, and you can talk to him about that. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That you know what it's like.
To be us.
We know that you probably had hard times
and
experienced big feelings.
Help us
to trust you
and know that
you
are with us
when we have hard times
and big feelings.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. You're welcome to go to Children's Church with Jane today.
The first lesson is from Philippians, the second chapter. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life. The second lesson is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I had in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Summer is moving right along, isn't it? I'm already starting to plan for Reformation Sunday and All Saints Sunday, and I just got in the mail a packet of sample Advent devotions to go through and pick out which ones we're going to order. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm very ready for autumn weather, but goodness, doesn't it feel like summer has gone by so quickly already? I mean, our wonderful Christmas in July service was already 2 weeks ago. It was a wonderful service. That day, I shared the Christmas story by reading to the children from a book called A Very Noisy Christmas. A Very Noisy Christmas. You know, we sing songs like Silent Night as we ponder with deep awe the wonder of what God did by being born as a human in Jesus. But the reality is that it probably wasn't a silent night at all. Mary gave birth to a child, and we know that birthing is a hard and painful process. She gave birth in a stable with animals surrounding them and shepherds coming to tell them what all they had experienced. And although I'm sure Jesus was an adorable baby, he would have cried and he might have even been kind of fussy. In its own way, this story, A Very Noisy Christmas, reminds us that the birth of Jesus wasn't some idyllic event, and it didn't happen in a silent movie. It was a messy and noisy, certainly amazing and wonderful, but a very probably chaotic reality of giving birth. Which brings us to the words of the Apostles' Creed we're going to explore today. I believe in Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Now you might be saying, "Hold on, Pastor Anna, that's a lot of things to put into one sermon, and don't worry, I promise you won't be here all day as I preach on it." But I've combined them all together today, because basically the purpose of these things in the Creed is to say that Jesus is fully human. We've spent the last couple of Sundays exploring how Jesus is fully God. Today we're going to look at the other part of that. So if you remember all the way back to the beginning of this sermon series, we said that the purpose of a creed is that it's a confession of belief about who God is and how God acts. And the creeds have two main purposes: to affirm faith in the Trinity and to help bolster believers against those views that at the time seemed the greatest threat to the Christian faith. Well, one of the greatest threats to the Christian faith in those earliest centuries was the belief that Jesus wasn't actually human. It's kind of hard to imagine this because in our modern times that has flip-flopped, right? Because most people think, yeah, he was a human, sure, he was a good guy, yeah, that's nice. But more people now have a hard time believing that he was God. Back then, it was just the opposite. So in those early centuries, the people that claimed that Jesus wasn't human didn't think that he was actually born. Of course, he couldn't have suffered if he didn't have a body, and he certainly couldn't have died. They denied all of that. And so part of the purpose of the creed, and certainly these statements that we're looking at today, was to say, no, Jesus was fully 100% human. He was born, he suffered, he died, and he was buried. So let's look at a couple of the statements and explore what they mean and why it matters. So when we hear that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, we all think in terms of modern biology, because we know that conception comes from the union of two cells, one from the biological father and one from the biological mother. On the basis of this modern understanding of biology, some people think that then means that the creed is saying that Jesus is half human and half God. His mother Mary is where he gets the human part, and the Holy Spirit is where he gets the God part. But those thoughts are based on modern biology, which these ancient people would have no idea or understanding of, because we believe that Jesus is 100% human and 100% divine. But this ancient understanding of biology, they wouldn't have understood DNA. They wouldn't have even known it existed. They certainly didn't have an understanding of the internal human anatomy either. So what they are trying to communicate with the words conceived by the Holy Spirit is not to explain Jesus' biological origin. Instead, when it says conceived by the Holy Spirit, the creed is affirming two central things about Jesus. One, that his birth was something incredibly special. And two, that his birth was real. These words are trying to make it abundantly clear that Jesus' conception was completely God's action and was not a result of natural forces. Let's think about Pontius Pilate and why he might be included in the creed. Have you ever wondered why, of the three humans named in the creed, Pontius Pilate, a Gentile, is one of them? Well, contrary to popular belief, it's not to blame him for Jesus' suffering or crucifixion, but rather to date his death. The creed wouldn't date it by saying that Jesus died 33 AD, because that way of dating hadn't appeared yet at the time of Jesus. Instead, at that time, the dating was based on counting the years since the formation of Rome, or it was based on who was ruling at a particular time. And if you think back, this happens a lot in Scripture. So what the creed is trying to say when Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, that it didn't happen just once upon a time, but it happened at a very particular time and in a very particular place. Jesus suffered, was crucified, died, and was buried at the time of Pontius Pilate. He, as a human being, lived in a very particular time at a very particular place. The last four verbs of this part of the creed that we're exploring today, suffered, crucified, died, and buried, these are also to emphasize that Jesus was 100% human. For those that believed he wasn't, they thought that his supposed crucifixion was just an illusion. And other people thought that Simon of Cyrene didn't just carry the cross for Jesus, that he actually died on the cross for Jesus. And some of Jesus' followers just said that it was Jesus and not Simon. But because Jesus was fully human, with his body, with his mind, with his heart, he suffered. He was crucified. He died. And he was buried. But why does it matter to us that Jesus was fully human? Why does it matter that Jesus had a body? From his birth, Jesus entered fully and completely into the messiness of life. We know that birth is messy, and so much of life is messy. And yet Jesus completely and willingly entered into the messiness of human life so that he could be with us in the messiness of our lives. Because the truth is that God in Jesus Christ is not remote from suffering. Jesus isn't unacquainted with the suffering that we experienced. Suffering isn't something that happens over here while Jesus is over there. Jesus doesn't simply observe the suffering of humankind. He willingly and completely plunges himself into it. He wrestles with sin and with evil and with all the brokenness of the world. And in his death, he is completely victorious over all of it. We so often wrongly think that because we believe in God, that that should make us immune to hard times or struggles or suffering. Or we sometimes think that if we struggle or suffer, that God is far away. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because even though we walk through the darkest of valleys, Christ is right there, walking beside us. Christ is and always will be our Emmanuel. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was so determined to share the very worst of human suffering that he endured a horrific and brutal death on the cross so that he can sustain us in our suffering and in our dying, and so that he could break the hold that death has over us. Not only has Jesus endured the deepest of suffering, but he is with us in the deepest of our sufferings, because nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, because in all these things, we are more than victorious through Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This, brothers and sisters, is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen. What a joyous occasion that we get to witness today. We aren't just welcoming two new members into our congregation, but we are welcoming a brother into the family of God. Several months ago, sometime in the fall, Stuart and Carolyn were looking for a church. They happened to be talking to their neighbor Chip, who said, "You should come check out my church." They came, and the rest is history. We are delighted that they are officially joining the family here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth and a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized into one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Stuart, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to be baptized into Christ? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
As you come to receive the gift of baptism, do you promise to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for Stuart and Carolyn, whom you have made your own. You have called Carolyn to yourself, and you have enlightened her with the gifts of your Spirit. You have nourished her in the community of faith. Uphold your servant in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. And now, if you will profess your faith with the words in the bulletin. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus. Reject sin and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Carolyn, you are affirming your baptism today. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people? To hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper? To proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support Stuart, who is baptized today, and Carolyn, who is making public affirmation of her baptism, and to pray for them in their life in Christ? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. You are the fire of rebirth. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, around us, above us. Our life is born in you. You are the fountain of resurrection. Praise to you for your saving waters. Noah and the animals survived the flood. Hagar discovers your well. The Israelites escape through the sea and they drink from your gushing rock. Naaman washes his leprosy away. And the Samaritan woman will never be thirsty again. At this font, holy God, we pray. Praise to you for the water of baptism and for your word that saves us in this water. Breathe your spirit into all who are gathered here and into all creation. Illumine our days. Enliven our bones. dry our tears. Wash away the sin within us and drown the evil around us. Satisfy our thirst with your living water, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Stuart, if you will lean over the font. Stuart, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stuart, you belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Alleluia. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Stuart with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Stuart, child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth. Cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Carolyn the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Stuart, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized and rejoice with those making public affirmation of baptism. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and bear God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Amen. You may be seated. Take that with you.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of grace, your faithfulness is never ending, and your righteousness becomes ours through Christ Jesus. Send the church to proclaim the gospel both near and far, in church buildings and on street corners, in person and through digital means. Hear us, O God. God of sky and sea, the plants, animals, mountains, and plains, proclaim your glory. Prosper the work of ecologists as they teach us new ways to care for the environment. Bring relief to areas recovering from natural disasters. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of peace and justice, you call us to live as your beloved community throughout the world. Instill in local, regional, national, and global political and civic leaders to a desire to work for the well-being of all people. Hear us, O God. God of care and compassion, you bring assurance when we are afraid. Bring calm to any who are anxious or fearful. Bless the work of therapists, nurses, and other health care providers. Comfort all who grieve and soothe any who are sick, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Kent, Bobby and Jana, Sandra, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of wonder, you accompany us in both joys and sorrows. We pray for children and teachers preparing for a new school year. Make your presence known in our work and play, in lively conversation and in quiet rest. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you send people to renew both church and society. We give you thanks for their lives of faithful service as examples of following your call. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Great is thy faithfulness, great. faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we have given thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.